The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray, how are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Right now, emotionally peaking. All diurnal rhythms in sync. Aligning myself with Jupiter and Mars and formerly Pluto before they decided by astronomical vote it was just a rock, not big enough to be a planet, and they think there's something else out there beyond it. Nevertheless, I'm aligning with all of those places. Delighted to have you with me here. Dr. Ray Guarendi, the program The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Call in program, you're my guests. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. That was not chosen to be utilitarian, as in we're all winners here. We all get a sticker. We all get a trophy. We're all applauded no matter what we do, how we do it, to whom we do it to, when we do it, how badly we do it, or how goodly we do it. Nope. Just the way the numbers came out. Probably the easiest to remember. If you have a situation, circumstance, person, something, question, struggle in your life, whether it be little kids, big kids, grown-ups, or a generic question, something about psychology you don't understand, or development you don't understand, or diagnosis you don't understand, give a call. I'm not going to do therapy here. I was in the office this morning. Be in the office again next week. But for now, we can give a few ideas. Something to help out. Something to educate a little bit. 877-573-7825. I don't know. I don't know if I relate to kids as well as I should. My daughter, when she was younger, she's older now, but she wanted, for her birthday, she wanted a Cinderella theme party. Cinderella theme party. So, I don't know. You moms out there, tell me if I handled this right. I invited all her friends over and had them clean my house. I don't know. That's the theme. That's part of it. Anyway, all right, where was I? What was I going to talk about? I had that one. And did I have something else? I tell it like it is, you know. You ever heard somebody say that? I tell it like it is. Well, besides being erroneous, it's kind of self-promotional. I tell it like it is. The implication, of course, is that I see reality exactly as it is. My opinion is reality. You know, the Bible, just a bunch of stories people made up. You know, they did stories in those days. You know why? Because the rulers had to control the riffraff. You know, a lot of people believe in the Bible, but I tell it like it is. Now, you see, a statement like that, to be accurate, would have to be, I tell it like I see it. I can't argue with that. I tell it like it is. I can argue with that. Because what you're saying is your perception, your opinion is reality. Says who? It's also self-promotional. Why? Well, I'm implying you don't. You don't tell it like it is. Because you don't see it like it is. You think you see it like it is. But the way you see it is just the way you see it, not me. I tell it like it is. Whenever I hear a statement like that, I am immediately suspicious. because those statements are just begging for clarification. So how is it? What do you see that makes you so sure that what you see is? Almost always when someone tells you that, they're giving you an opinion, and they're not recognizing it as an opinion. They're giving you a subjective look at things, and they're not recognizing it as a subjective look. They're just elevating it. I understand reality. You either don't, or you don't realize that your opinion is way off. I tell it like it is. Some phrases, I believe, are social mantras. People just repeat them. They don't mean a whole lot. They sound substantive. They sound insightful. They may even sound a bit realistic, but they don't hold up to any scrutiny. If you question them even a little bit, they fall apart. I tell it like it is, one of those statements. It ends arguing. It ends discourse. It ends debate. It ends any kind of reasonable discussion. If I tell it like it is, then that means that I'm telling reality. So in any way that you would dispute that, you're going against reality. You're not going against me. You're going against reality. Now, there's a variant of this. Oftentimes, parents will get into this with their adult children. If, for example, a parent is wanting to talk to the adult child who is moving in with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and the parent says, well, you know, this is wrong. This isn't a moral thing to do. That's your opinion, Mom. No, it's not my opinion. It's God's opinion. Now that's telling it like it is. Oh yeah, well, who are you to say what God's opinion is? Well, certain things he's made pretty clear through the Bible, through Jesus' words, through the church he set up 2,000 years ago. He's pretty clear about that. This wasn't something he left open to opinion. You can all tell it like it is. No, the only person who can really tell it like it is God. If you want to get right down to it. Every time, anyway. There may be times when I say, I tell it like it is, that I'm right. It, yes, in fact, my perspective, I would hope, is paralleling reality. That's nice. That's a good thing, isn't it? I tell it like it is. The problem you run into is when you attempt to ascertain somebody's motive in what they do. You didn't mean that. I know why you did that. There was no way you were sorry. You were just saying it because you got caught. I tell it like it is. You see what I've done? I took my perception. I took my accusation of your motives, and I elevated it to reality. 100 people would say the exact same thing, because reality's reality, and they would all recognize it. Be careful when you say, I tell it like it is. All too often, that's a braggadocio attempt to say that my perception of things is always reality. One more thing. When you say, I tell it like it is, that means that's your trait. That's what you do. Every time you say something that's an observation, you're telling it like it is. So really, you have a complete and total connection with reality at all times. Even when assessing somebody else's motive. Because you can see inside their head and tell it like it is. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm going to take a break. Why? It's break time, and that's the way it is.
you're not fit yet.
Not fit? I'm the doctor.
No, doctor, I'm the doctor, and I say that you're not fit.
You may be a doctor, but I'm the doctor. The definite article, you might say.
Aw, man. Whoa.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I've been challenged. People say, oh, you're so certain that your program raises IQs. Prove it. Well, Andrew Krucek, my producer man, has gone back and gotten several of the most difficult categories on Jeopardy. Elizabethan literature, rivers in Russia, archaeology in the Pacific Rim. Some of the more difficult categories. What we do is we can then take part with you in answering those categories. And then we get a baseline. 6 months later, we remeasure you. And we see that you've gone up. You can go further. You go $60, $80, $100. Sometimes you even get the final Jeopardy. You weren't even close before. You couldn't even got the 21. We haven't done it yet, but we've got it in place. A gentleman caller from Nebraska has a relative who is dating someone known to be physically abusive in previous relationships. Hi, caller. How are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Okay, buddy. So this person who is dating this person, how does that affect you?
Close relative to me, and then also very close to my children as well, and also relative to my children. And my question I have for you is, this person's been dating this other person for a couple of years, and we just found out, and our relative had gone through a really bad divorce, and started dating this other person, and we just found out recently that this person has this history that also includes drug use, drug dealing, and then also to the point where it got so bad he ended up losing his daughter to the state for a while. And so I guess my head of household, spiritual head of the house, instinct, masculine instinct is kicking in. I want to tell this person that this person's no longer allowed, you know, on our premises or on the farm. And but I guess I just wanted to get your opinion and if I'm overstepping something for the safety of my children.
Do you think he's going to do something to your kids?
I don't know. Just given, you know, what I know, my experience, is there a risk there?
Probably not. I mean, I don't know this guy, but it seems like that particular abusiveness or whatever it is that he's done in previous relationships was in those relationships. Mm-hmm. Unless you say he's just an overall physically aggressive human being and your little 9-year-old says something, he's going to slap her across the face. How likely is that?
Yeah, probably unlikely.
Yeah, but here's the other part of that. This close relative probably knows all this, right? If you know it, she knows it.
Yes, this relative has been confronted, yes.
All right. And at least at this point, it's not enough for her to say, I'm walking away from this relationship, correct?
That is correct, right. Yes.
If you say, I don't want him within 500 yards of my property, will you see her?
Possibly not.
See, it would seem to me, I can't tell you what to do, but it would seem to me if you say, this guy's a pretty bad sinner. He's got a history that's ugly. Therefore, I don't even want him around.
Sure.
One of two things. If you say he's putting my family at risk, I could understand that.
Sure.
It doesn't sound like, from what you describe, and briefly anyway, that he would do that. It just sounds like he'd be a jerk. And Okay, and it sounds like your close relative hopefully will come to see this. And until she does, would you want to say to her, your judgment is so bad and this guy is so questionable that just don't even bother coming around us? Would you want to do that?
No.
Okay.
Not to her.
Yeah. Then you've answered your own question. I would say this, okay. If you're concerned about your children, obviously, they're never going to be alone with the guy, right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so that the only concern you would have would, I think, would be that one. That would be the only one if there is a risk. That's the major one. So in that sense, you know, that's like saying anybody in my circle, my close relational circle, who either chooses someone that's bad for them or gets remarried outside the church and is now with this person, because of what they're doing, because they're in this state of upheaval or chronic sin, don't come around me. Don't come around me. Ooh.
Sure.
I'm not so sure our Lord would want us to do that. If I had to start eliminating people in my life who were in a state of chronic sin, I'd get to the point pretty close where I'd have a very small circle, and I'm not sure I could be included in that circle.
Sure. You know,
so, just some thoughts there, my friend.
I guess the moral dilemma that I was struggling with was just how great of a sin is too great where it starts jeopardizing, you know, my children or my family's safety. You know, I guess that was the number one concern that I had.
Well, what you're really saying is if this guy's had a bad history, if he comes around my house, is some of that history going to happen with me and my family? Well, if you say
that's
no,
yes.
Yeah, if you say no,
okay.
then all you're dealing with is a guy that you may not like or a guy that you have to work hard to tolerate, but you won't destroy the relationship with your sister. I know you didn't say that,
okay.
But that's my guess. All right, my friend, thank you. All right, buddy. Bye. Elizabeth. Elizabeth is gone. That's the question I wanted to talk about. All right. Well, there's a lot of questions up there. Mary from North Dakota, and I'm going to euphemize your language because I know there are a lot of parents who have their children listen to this program so that I can straighten up their children vicariously Or, more commonly, they have their parents listen to this program for punishment. All right, that's it. Instead of writing a 7,000-word essay, you're going to listen to 1 hour of Dr. Ray. Oh, Mom, no, I'll write the essay. I'll write the essay. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Thank you, dear. Now, you have a comment. We had a call probably last week, I think it was.
Yes,
we had a woman, she was married, and she was not physically attracted. Oh, I'm sorry. No, she wasn't married. That's right. She was engaged. She was not physically attracted to the guy. And she was asking, essentially, what do I do here? You know, well, do I just ignore the physical attraction? Do I let it grow? And you have some guidance on that.
Well, I just know that after I was married, I think of a lot of couples that, well, the way society is nowadays, they say, well, you can't turn the switch on and off saying no and then all of a sudden be able to say yes. Well, I figured God gave me a gift because as we left the church in our vehicle, God switched it from no to yes.
How do you do that?
Well, I don't know. My husband and I have discussed this, and we just figure it is because we wanted to remain virgins, and we behaved accordingly to remain virgins, and we just figured he rewarded us.
What would you say? What would you,
Mary?
What,
remember the feeling.
What would you say to this caller? She says, I don't have that feeling, and I'm not sure it's going to happen. So what do I do?
I didn't feel I had it either. Not that I didn't enjoy his first kiss. But I don't feel that I had that feeling either. But once, because that was part of her questioning. Was it because they were keeping their morals on the right road before? Is that why she didn't have that feeling? And I would say it most likely is.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, but I just know what happened to myself.
So you would say that she's not physically attracted to the guy. And she spoke very highly of him, by the way. She said he was a good man, a lot of beautiful characteristics. And the one thing that for her, there wasn't any snap. It's kind of the way she described it. Which is, I asked her, I said, well, you've been reading too many novels or what here? Or watching too many Hallmark movie cheesy shows? And she laughed. But she said, you know, is this what you base a relationship on? I mean, if the physical component's not there and you're telling her, well, you can't know that at this point because you just haven't been married or together. Good point there, Mary. Good point, and I'm glad for you, dear, in the situation that you're in also. Thank you. Thank you for the call. See, I got backup. When I don't know what's coming up on the air. I mean, Eric answers the phone. Andrew sometimes answers it when he's done eating his taco. But I don't know exactly what people are going to bring up, ask, comment on. I don't know. There's no anticipation here. So when the question comes up, even though I have 4 decades of experience as a shrink, it doesn't automatically mean, oh, yeah, here's what I would think. Here's a good answer. Here's what you do. Here's the formula. No, I don't have that. So when I fall short, which is, we've done some informal studies. EWTN has done some studies on this, that I fall short about 96.24% of the time. I got you backing me up. Now, I have noticed this, and I don't know what this means. I do not know what this means. It may just reflect my listening audience. 98.34% of the time, when someone calls in to say, here's what you should have said, here's where you fell short, here's where you missed it, here's what I think, it is female. I don't know what that means.
What is the essence of the fourth commandment? In ordering us to honor our mother and our father, the Lord God has willed that after him we should revere our parents, to whom we owe life and who have handed on to us the knowledge of God. The Catholic Catechism says the fourth commandment shows us the order of charity. It introduces the subsequent commandments concerned with special respect for life, marriage, earthly goods, and speech. It constitutes one of the foundations of the social doctrines of the Church. It is expressed specifically to children regarding their relationships to their parents because it is the most universal. But it also involves ties of kinship to the extended family and encompasses duties to elders, ancestors, pupils to teachers, employees to employers, citizens to their country, and to those who govern it. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I was going to retire to Phoenix. You know, I talked yesterday about going to California, but I couldn't afford it. I was going to retire to Phoenix. But there's certain things in Phoenix you got to be willing to do. You got to be willing to park three blocks away from your house because you found shade. It's true. You know that dry heat, people say, but it's a dry heat. Yeah, but it's comparable to what hits you in the face when you open your oven door at 550 degrees. Dry heat. Yeah, so is my oven. And in Phoenix, the four seasons are tolerable, hot, blazing hot, and are you kidding me? So far I've ruled Phoenix out for me too. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Elizabeth from Nebraska wants to know all about cognitive behavior therapy. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Why would you ask this? Is somebody close to you, or you yourself thinking of going to a therapist who practices that?
Well, I've been dealing with some postpartum depression,
mm-hmm.
and I've gone to a few sessions, and it seems like there's like cognitive behavioral stuff within those sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of wondering, like, how it seems like I have to employ the techniques like all day, every day. Is that normal? I don't know. And how long do you kind of see results and don't have to like try to look at your, because mine kind of revolves around the obsessive thoughts and so I was just wondering, and then they said to kind of step back from the thoughts and look at them and give them away, give them to God, whatever. Seems like I have to do that all the time.
Generic question. Is cognitive behavioral therapy effective? By and large, yes. And it is so, and most therapists, I would say the majority of therapists practice it, or some version of it. What do you understand it to be, Elizabeth, when somebody says, yeah, you're in cognitive behavioral therapy? What would you summarize that as being?
I guess just identifying which thoughts are sort of spiraling out of control, and I guess the techniques that I've read about and listened to are just the kind of looking at that thought and either letting it sort of fade away or giving it to God.
Or challenging it.
Or challenging it.
We all have thoughts in our heads constantly about life, people, circumstances, ourselves. And we interpret life through those thoughts, how we see things. Some of the thoughts make sense and square better with reality than others. For example, I'll just give you a tiny thought. A parent who tried very hard to raise their children in the faith, and at age 21, that child leaves the faith, and the parent says to themselves, I'm a failure. I failed. I fell short. Okay, now that's a thought that is irrational. It would cause an enormous amount of emotional turmoil, and it doesn't make sense. A thought like that has to be analyzed and challenged and scrutinized and gotten rid of. Now, you say, well, you either ignore the thoughts or you give them to God. And how long do I have to do this anyway? Do I have to think like this all day long? Yes, you do, only in the sense that you're trying to replace the self-defeating thoughts, the thought that make no sense, the thoughts that are at the basis of your turmoil, with good thoughts, with thoughts that do make sense. We're not talking Pollyanna here, and we're not talking the power of positive thinking. We're talking reality. For example, going back to our parent. Well, the reality is that parent probably did everything she could do as best she knew how in those circumstances to raise that child as best she could. The child left the faith for all kinds of reasons unrelated to what the parent did. And to the degree that the parent understands that and realizes that and replaces her guilt thoughts with new thoughts, eventually the emotion is going to follow. So for you, there's probably a whole lot of thoughts that you're having that are causing you distress. And you have to decide whether those thoughts are making any sense or not. We all have a whole bunch of them that cause us needless distress. All of that said, if in fact you mentioned postpartum depression, the very first part of your call, if in fact some of this is hormonal, some of this is upheaval, physiological upheaval, then yes, you're going to have some effect because your body is doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're interpreting all that as, your thoughts, are amenable to cognitive behavioral therapy. The therapy will teach you to think differently, and you'll practice it. Okay?
Okay.
But if there is... Go ahead, please.
In conjunction with an antidepressant, that's pretty effective for postpartum depression?
If you're looking at what the studies show, by and large, the combination of therapy and antidepressant medication, when the depression is accurately diagnosed, is your best approach. All right? Antidepressant medication is nothing against God's law. It would work because there's something going on in the body that isn't quite right. And the neurochemical theory is that the antidepressants will help make that right. Now, all depressions aren't accurately diagnosed. Much of the time, for example, a depression can be life situation caused. It can be a personality caused. It can be circumstances caused. So it doesn't really have an out-of-whack biochemical basis. Where antidepressant medication works best is when there is an out-of-whack biochemical basis. Now, I know your next question is, okay, how do I know that? Well, you don't.
Yes.
You make a guess. You make a judgment. You look at all the circumstances and you say, The best explanation for what this person is experiencing is that something is going on here neurochemically to explain this. It's almost like you're ruling out all the causes. How many kids do you have, dear?
Five.
The most common thing that I see with a mother of five children who just was pregnant again is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed, self-doubt, questioning, feelings of ineptness, inadequacy, wondering, what have I done? That's the most common thing I see underlying their emotions and their frustration. I don't know if that's the case with you, but it is something that I put right at the top of the list if you're struggling with a lot of depressive feelings. Not saying that's it.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
We know how much you love Ave Maria Radio, so please consider joining us in our Care to Share program. It's easy. We send you 10 business-size cards that give you all the great ways that someone can listen to Ave Maria Radio, and you just give them away. Share them with those you love and those who would really benefit from our great programming. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to find the Care to Share program link. That's AveMariaRadio.net, Community, and Care to Share.
The opinions, ideas, notions, and intellectual nuggets expressed on The Doctor Is In are not necessarily those of the management staff, call screeners, board operators, mother-in-laws, second cousins once removed, and parole officers of Ave Maria Radio. And any resemblance or close relationship thereof is purely coincidental and is not a reflection or indication that any of the aforementioned individuals are listening to the program or even like it. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. We had an interesting situation with Chris here from Massachusetts. The phone rang or buzzed on my break two breaks ago. I saw the number. It was Massachusetts. I recognized the area code. Now, I get a lot of calls from different places. So I thought, well, let me just find out what's going on here. And dear sweet Chris, she must have gone to my website, my Facebook page, and she found it. She said, "Oh, well, I'll call him." I said, "Hey, Chris, call the show." And she did. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm fine, dear. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the second call.
Well, I was shocked that your real number was right on there and hearing your voice. That was pretty funny. So, yes, I have your number now. And I have a question. I have a sixth grade boy who would like to have Instagram. And I don't want to give it to him because I've seen a lot of bullying, you know, with number of likes that this kid gets, or somebody puts emojis on a picture that they don't like that makes someone unhappy. And I've seen this with many
Chris,
kids.
Chris, I'm going to interrupt you. You don't have to justify why you don't want to give your son Instagram.
Okay, but he's getting bullied. His other sixth graders say, you know nothing. You don't have an Instagram.
That's not being bullied. That's not being bullied. They're saying stupid stuff.
I need a one-liner for him. I would love a one-liner for him to just tell
I'm
going to
give
that,
you something better than a one-liner.
Okay.
Can you see my face right now?
No.
Okay, because if you could, you would see that I'm just looking as though I don't know what you're talking about. Not you, dear. Your son just needs to stare at those kids. Like, what are you talking about? If he gives them a one-liner, do you think they're going to say, ooh, good one. Okay, I won't bring it up anymore. Wow, sure put me in my place. Do you think that'll happen, or do you think he'll just provoke them?
I guess maybe provoking.
Yeah, I tell your son, hey, pal, just look at him. It's like, what? I don't need Instagram. I don't want it. That's all he has to say. I don't want it.
Okay. But he does, and he cries for it. But
yeah, okay. All right, Chris. Chris, all right. You should have stuck with when you called me on my phone, because now you're going to get chastised publicly.
Okay.
If your son said, hey, Mom, I really would like to be able to eat nothing but French fries. Oh, and I want my allowance at $5 a day. And, Mom, you don't realize how badly I want this. Would you say, well, gee, you want it. I mean, I really don't think you should have it. But I think you should. You want it, so I'm going to give it to you. Would you do that, Chris?
No, I would not.
Well, of course not. So why would you give him Instagram at age 11? Because he wants it.
Because it makes me sad that his little heart is broken and that his friends are all have it. And I wish the moms, my girlfriends, would jump on board with the waiting.
You know what's going to happen? In about 2 years, if it takes that long, some of those moms are going to come to you and say, boy, Chris, I wish I would have done what you did. My kid's getting burned. This is awful.
Right.
What's happening? I can't believe what somebody sent him on Instagram. Oh, my gosh. Chris,
yeah,
you're the smart one. You're protecting your son. It is lunacy to give an 11-year-old an Instagram account. Lunacy.
Yeah, but that's how they socialize. That's how kids socialize now. He's not going to have any friends. He's going to be isolated. And these kids are all going to think he's a weirdo.
Well, I guess that's what's going to have to happen, because the downside of getting anything like that. Now, by the way, Chris, Chris, you didn't say this, and you can get mad at me for asking it. If he wants an Instagram account, are you telling me he has a smartphone?
He does have a smartphone, but it does not have data on it. There's no data on it. And it stays in the kitchen.
Good
I'm
for you.
I'm a faithful listener.
He has no internet access?
No internet access.
Okay. All right.
The data's shut off on it, and I have the passwords to iCloud and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't have them.
Why isn't he bugging you to have full access?
Because his friends aren't bothering him about that. They're saying you're a loser and you have an overprotective mother because you don't have Instagram. So it's mostly about the app. They have no idea that he doesn't have, you know, access to YouTube.
You know what I would want to do for that
other app?
You know what I'd want to do for that boy, Chris?
What?
I want to say, you know what, son? Now is the time, at age 11, for you to realize when people say dumb things to you and try to get you to do things their way, that you just look at them and say, I don't have to.
Oh, but Dr. Ray, come on. 11-year-old kids, they're really peer influence. Come on, you're being unrealistic.
Okay, so if realistic means doing what all the other 11-year-olds are doing, then we're surrendering to how 11-year-olds should tell us to parent. You know, Chris, the sad reality is what your son is telling you is true. And the vast bulk of the culture has surrendered to stupidity in raising their children. And trust me, they're getting burned left and right. But they've just surrendered like a bunch of sheep. So someone like you who says, I don't want to do this. You get grief. Your son gets grief. But you have to know, Chris, you are right. And someday your son's going to benefit from this. My daughter didn't have an Instagram account until she was 18. I think she was the only kid in her school. And that's fine.
Right. That's fine. Okay. All right. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
You're a sweetheart. Thank you, dear. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Okay. And you know, the sad thing of it is that dear lady, you know, I'm writing a book on all this. And one of my chapters is called Culture Phobia. Because it is the bullying that goes on to parents if you don't surrender to the new age norms of allowing this kind of technology. It's crazy.
But Dr. Ray, that doesn't happen to everybody. There are some kids who do handle it responsibly.
Yeah, can you predict which ones? Do you know which ones? And I'm going to tell you, it's a minority. Just know that in certain things, when you go with the flow of what the culture says, you're surrendering the morals and the well-being that you would want for your child. I'll be right back. I got to send something out on Instagram here.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Ave Maria Radio is having a Christmas in July sale going on right now at AveMariaRadio.net. Deck your halls with great books, talks, and other products for friends, family, and even for yourself. Products featuring Father John Ricardo are on sale, including a 20% discount on all single show copies of Christ is the Answer. Just apply the promo code CIAJULY19 at checkout. Don't miss out on Ave Maria Radio's Christmas in July sale going on right now at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Dr. Ray Guarini here. Thank you so very much for joining me on The Doctor's In. Just one announcement here. The TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, will be debuting its eighth season this Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN, Global Catholic Television Network. And then if you missed it, which I really would advise against, you can catch it on Tuesday and Friday of the following week. But the first show of the season is coming on, and that's with my boss and my friend, Doug Keck, president, COO of EWTN. I was very nervous in that show, too. He's my boss, you know. He could pull the plug on the whole thing. So I had to really, like, treat him nice. And that was hard for that whole time. I was really respectful. I got a headache. Rebecca from Illinois. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call today.
You are welcome, dear. You had your son have a little sessions with cognitive behavioral therapy, huh?
Actually, it was with myself. In college, I was actually diagnosed with ADD and comorbid anxiety and depressive symptoms. And by the grace of God, I found an excellent Catholic counselor, and he helped me to use cognitive behavioral therapy with temporary medication to really, really just change, you know, change my thought process, change how I was responding to things. And it has made a huge difference in my life. And it's to the point where now, years later, I'm married and my husband and I have a little girl. And I know that if I had not taken the initiative and done this work, I would not be able to care for her the way I need to. I would not be able to be a good wife to my husband. Obviously, I'm still across for him, trying to be a more comfortable one. But I would really encourage that caller to pursue it. And I've also noticed in the works of St. Francis de Sales, sometimes the things he says, you know, about consciously choosing to do God's will or to say whatever you want, Jesus, or things like that, they seem kind of similar to cognitive behavioral therapy as well.
Rebecca, what was it in your thinking that was underlying that struggle with anxiety and depression?
You know, I have to say, when it came down to it, it was a kind of self-focus. I was so worried about my own efforts and my own, you know, how I'm doing, how I'm tackling things, and entirely forgetting that everything's up to God, and that no matter what happens, he will work everything out, whether it's, you know, the way I want it to be in the short run or not.
The thinking was then, to summarize what you just said, the thinking was, I have to be competent. I have to show myself adequate, significant, achieving. And if I don't, then obviously I'm a failure. Obviously I'm inept. Yeah. Obviously I can't do it. So therefore I am a schlep. And that constant thinking put stress on you. It put pressure on you to always continuously reach to show yourself competent, but you found out very quickly that you can't live like that.
Yeah, it's really a miserable way to live. A priest once told me, you know, if a candle looked down at itself, it would go out. But if it looks up, it shines more brightly than it ever could otherwise.
And you thought that all those thoughts that you had pretty much run your young life by, probably starting somewhere in adolescence, were perfectly legitimate. They were logical. They made sense. You clung to them, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And only until someone showed you, Rebecca, your thinking's a little twisted here. We got to recognize this, and we got to replace it with better thinking. Only until that happened, you thought you were doomed to that level of anxiety and depression, didn't you?
Yes.
What a relief to know that, huh, sweetheart? What a relief.
Yes, a very great relief.
Oh, I'm so glad for you. Give your little girl a kiss.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Thanks for the call. Well, when I know a call is going to be a look-back call, I got to watch how much I say because I want the caller to say more. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, producer man, Eric Dumont, call screamer, and all of you. Tomorrow, Look Back Friday. Thanks for joining me here. Walk with God. You got children. Hold them tightly by the hand, but always remember to use the Purell. Not for your hands, theirs.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.